wherever I stopped, I became a carnival. I was so good at stealing, people saw things in my cart that they found nowhere else. And I was cheap. What did I know of prices? By the end of a day, my pocket was only a little less empty than my wagon. But who cared? For I had discovered my voice. I became a huckster like the ones that had fascinated me. Ho! Bread for sale! Apples, shoes, cigarettes, ladies' undergarments! Come and see! Amazing bargains! For me, it was more about talking than about selling. There had been a few word bursts during and before the ghetto, but up until the end of the war, I had probably not spoken 2,000 words in my life. Now, you could not shut me up. If my cart was empty, I kept on hawking just to hear myself talk. I wallowed in words. There was no end to them. They were free for the taking. No one ever chased me down a road yelling, "Stop, thief! He stole my word!" Time went by. I talked enough and stole enough and sold enough to buy a steamship ticket. And I joined the multitudes going to America. The immigration officer said, "What is your name?" "Misha Milgram," I said. "What's a Misha?" he said. "Your name is Jack." I became Jack Milgram. I learned English. I went on talking. In America, that means I was a salesman. No one hired me to sell the best products. The problems were my size. I had stopped growing at 5 feet 1 inch. My accent and my missing ear, which now looked like a clump of cauliflower. I couldn't blame them. Who would let such a galoot in the door? "Good day, madam. Can I interest you in a nice vacuum cleaner?" Forget it. Then I got my big break. I was hired to sell a miracle vegetable chopper on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I was given a table and a pile of cucumbers. 10 o'clock in the morning. People gathered in front of me. I began describing the wonders of the miracle chopper. Somebody called, "What'd you do? Chop your ear off?" Before I was halfway through my spiel, the last person was walking away. I felt desperate. "Wait!" I called. My mouth took over. "There's something I have to tell you. Dr. Korshak was right. There was a cow. And it burned like a marshmallow." The people stopped and turned. They were thinking, "What's he talking about? What's that have to do with the miracle chopper?" Who cared, as long as I was talking? "Himmler looked like my Uncle Shepsel. My Uncle Shepsel looked like a chicken. You want to know what rat tastes like? Rat tastes like mouse. I was going to warn you one last time. Do not take the horse from the merry-go-round." I told them everything, except for Janina, all that I had seen, all that I was. The boardwalkers streamed by in both directions. Stopped to listen? 3 or 4. Miracle chopper sold? 0. I was fired at the end of the day. But I had found something. Next day I was back on the boardwalk. No cucumbers, no choppers, just me, standing near Steel Pier, spouting off. Then one day I took the bus west to Philadelphia to earn money for cheap beds and cheap places. I handed out circulars and swept gas stations and shucked oysters. But my real job was running my mouth. If you walked the streets of Philadelphia in those days, you probably heard me. 15th and Market, Broad and Chestnut. You heard me, and you turned, and as soon as you realized I was spouting nonsense, you turned away and walked on, muttering to your friend, "Another nutcake." It was on a corner that I met my wife. 13th and Market, a cold day in November. She stopped and listened. That was rare enough. 5 minutes later, she was still there. That was unheard of. Then she left. But she came back with a bag of roasted chestnuts from a street vendor. She offered me one. Her name was Vivian. She came back every day, staying longer and longer, bringing me hot chestnuts. She lured me away from the street corner, lunch at Horn and Hardart, walks in Rittenhouse Square, card games in her ground floor apartment. Always I went on talking, telling my stories. Vivian became my street corner. Vivian was a normal, sensible person, but I think at that time she must have gone a little cuckoo. Maybe my words dazzled her. Maybe she saw me as a needy refugee from the war, or an exotic artifact of history. In any case, one day, out of the blue, she blurted, "Okay, I'll marry you." And I thought, did I ask? The marriage lasted 5 months. Vivian quickly found out that living with me was different from playing cards with me. When caroling children came at Christmas time, I slammed the door in their faces. When I saw a copy of Hansel and Gretel in a bookstore window, I went in and grabbed it and ripped it to shreds, and Vivian had to pay for it. In the shower, I sometimes turned on the cold water, but I could never stand it until I became blue. I snatched apples from fruit stands. I did strange things at parades. I laughed in the wrong places. I heard flies. Remember Warsaw? What a feast. We were so full of crap we couldn't take off. I cried for no reason. In the night, the colossal black flame-throwing jackboots tramped through my dreams. Finally, Vivian had enough. As she was leaving, I stared at her stomach. "Are you pregnant?" I said. "Goodbye," she said. She closed the door, and I went back to the street corners. Remember the day you were hurrying by with your briefcase or shopping bag? Heading for the parking lot? The one-eared, pint-sized Looney Tune ranting at you? That was me, flapping day after day about Oleg and Uri and Himmler the chicken and Kuba the clown and the crows and black pearls and my yellow stone and the food that flew over the wall and the flaming flying cow and the orphans marching and singing and the man who scrubbed the sidewalk with his beard and Buffo's belly and Dr. Korchak's cozy goatee and the ladies with white gloves and cameras and Greta the horse that never was. They were all a jumble in my head. What a mess they must have been coming out of my mouth. And you? You were the thing that gave me shape. But I wasn't even listening, you say. I don't even remember you. Don't feel bad. The important thing was not that you listened, but that I talked. I can see that now. I was born into craziness. When the whole world turned crazy, I was ready for it. That's how I survived. And when the craziness was over, where did that leave me? On the street corner, that's where. Running my mouth, spilling myself. And I needed you there. You were the bottle I poured myself into. I branched out. I went to nearby towns that had never seen a street corner talker. Norristown, Conshohocken, Glenside. The years, the words went by. Then one day in Philadelphia, in the shadow of City Hall, two women stopped and listened. They looked to be in their 70s. They wore wide hats that shaded their faces like little parasols. After a while, one of them reached out her hand and cupped my ear clump. She smiled and nodded and said, "We hear you. It's enough. It's over." And they walked on. And I went another way, and I never took to another street corner. When my daughter found me, I was stocking shelves in a bag-and-go market. 45. Today.
Poppy Noodle! Poppy Noodle!
My granddaughter screams from another room. I get up from my easy chair and go see what it is this time.
Look at me!
I'm looking. She thinks she is standing on her head, but the toes of her pink sneakers never leave the floor. And I am once again reminded of the girl whose name she carries. Janina. I was putting up soup cans in aisle 4 when I heard the voice behind me. "Mr. Milgram?" I turned. It was a young woman in a light blue skirt and windbreaker, dark brown hair. She was holding the hand of a little girl. The little girl looked up at me with huge, unblinking eyes. "Daddy?" said the young woman. I stared. "I'm Catherine, your daughter. I've been looking for you forever." She shifted the little girl to stand in front of her. "This is my daughter, Wendy, your granddaughter." "I'm 4, said the little girl. "What happened to your ear?"
"Wendy," said her mother.
A distant voice that only I could hear replied, "It was shot twice, first by a jackboot, then by Uri. Did you know you're my grandfather?" I still could not speak. "Well, you are," she said.
Shake.
She held out her hand. I held up mine. She took it and gave it one hard shake.
Pleased to meet you.
I looked at her mother. You didn't know about me, did you? She said. I cleared my throat. I wasn't sure. Her smile was radiant. Well, I'm here. I'm 25 years old. I know about you from Mother. For 4 years now, I've been saving something for you. I hesitated. Yes? Wendy's middle name. I left it blank. I knew someday I would find you. She's been waiting 4 years for a middle name. I want you to give it to her. Janina, I said. My daughter's laughter rang throughout the market. I thought you'd at least take a minute to think about it. She took the little girl's face in her hand and turned it toward herself. She nodded. Wendy Janina. So it is. The little girl clapped. She twirled about. Wendy Janina! Wendy Janina! We live in Elkins Park, said Catherine. We have a spare room. You can have your own bathroom. I dropped my apron in aisle 4. They took me home. Wendy Janina tries to improve her headstand. She pushes off from her toes a little too hard, which sends her tiny body sailing past the headstand and into a back flop onto the hard floor. I wince at the thump. From the floor, her eyes cast about until they find me. Her lower lip sticks out. She is deciding whether or not to cry. Secretly, I almost hope she does. I would like to be the grandfather who stops her tears. I hold out my arms. She gets up and comes to me. I lift her to my lap. She puts her head on my chest. She doesn't cry, but it's enough. I would like to stay this way for a year, or 10. But she leaps from my lap and pipes, "Outside!" She grabs my finger and pulls me out to the deck. I'll sit here, I say. I settle into the rocking chair. Watch me, she says, and runs to the swing set. I watch. She swings back and forth. The maple tree behind her is a brilliant orange. The year is gorgeous in its dying. The milkweed pods are bursting. The milkweed does not change colors. The milkweed is as green in October as in July. When I said one day to my daughter Catherine, drive around, out of town, and I brought along a trowel and a bucket, she did not ask why. When I said, stop here, and dug it up, she said only, milkweed, right? I nodded. She did not object when I planted it at the end of the yard, away from the maple. Angel plants must have sun. My daughter does not pester me with questions. She knows everything that I told her mother, which means everything but Janina. All those years of talking, all those street corners. I kept my sister to myself. One time Catherine said to me, "Are you ever going to tell me why you named her Janina?" "Someday," I said. At last Wendy Janina tires of the swing, or maybe she just wants a ride on the rocker, me doing the work. She plops down on my lap. "Rock, Poppy Noodle." I rock. I smile. I close my eyes. I think of all the voices that have told me who I have been, the names I've had. Call me thief. Call me stupid. Call me gypsy. Call me Jew. Call me one-eared Jack. I don't care. Empty-handed victims once told me who I was. Then Uri told me. Then an armband. Then an immigration officer. And now this little girl in my lap. This little girl whose call silences the tramping jackboots. Her voice will be the last. I was. Now I am. I am. Poppy Noodle. This is Ron Rifkin. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Milkweed by Jerry Spinelli. This program was produced and directed by Charles Potter, executive producer Karen DiMattia, text copyright 2003 by Jerry Spinelli, production copyright 2003, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hello, this is Jim Dale, narrator of the Harry Potter audiobook series. Listening to audiobooks isn't just great entertainment, it's also a great way for your family to experience and enjoy books together. Studies have shown that listening to stories read aloud helps children build vocabulary, improve their reading skills, and succeed more readily in school. It's an important step on the road to becoming a good reader, and one of the best ways to help ensure a lifelong love of literature for the children you care about. Check your local retailer for the wide selection of audiobooks available from Listening Library. Or if you would like to visit us online for more information, check our website at www.listeninglibrary.com. Thank you, and happy listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.